All right, so we'll say good morning. So today's daf is Kuf Lamed Dalet. We're going to start on Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Motzitzin. It's 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom. Last two words on the line. Motzitzin. Remember, again, the Mishnah said that on Shabbos, one of the things that we do when it comes to Mila is Mitzitza. Mitzitza is the process of drawing out blood from the Makom Mila. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Papa, Hai Umna Dulo Mayitz. Rav Papa says that Umna literally means a craftsman. In this case, over here, it means a moel. Any moel that does not draw out the blood, sakanahu, he's considered to be endangering the baby, v'avrinale, and we remove him from his post as a moel. So the Gemara says, Pshita, that's obvious. Medikamechalele alea shabsa, sakanahu. It's obvious from the fact that what? From the fact that from Mechal Shabbos, from a tzitza, that's indicative of the fact that there's sakaras nefashos, and if you don't do it, then obviously the mole should be removed. Someone says, well, maybe not. Malutim, what would I have said? Hai dam mifkat pocket. I might have thought that the reason you could do mitzitza on Shabbos is because mifkat pocket means the blood is ready and removed. What that means is they're both like, for example, to give you a very different kind of example. The halacha is that you're allowed to go ahead and lance a boil, right? Or pop a pimple on Shabbos, right? It could be blood. So the Gemara assumes that any blood that comes from that is already detached from the body. Nifkar pocket, it's already collected and to a certain degree detached. The only prohibition of causing bleeding on Shabbos, which is a din in Shechita, is removing blood that is absorbed from the body. But for argument's sake, if blood is quote-unquote detached, then there's no issue. So I might have thought that maybe the blood of the Makom Mila is already collected and considered to be detached. Kamash Bolan, that's not the case. Chaburi Michbar, you're actually causing a chabura when you do the Mitzitza. V'doma de ispalanis ukimon. And it's similar to, I mean, the concept of doing mitzitza and drawing out the blood is similar to the bandage and the cumin. Ma ispalanes ukumon kilo avet sakanahu. Just like if you don't do the bandage and the cumin, that's a sakana. Av hochenami kilo avet sakanahu. So to over here, if you don't do the mitzitza, ultimately you are putting the baby in a sakana. Okay?
Is that a requirement for the bris?
Mitzitza is a requirement for the bris. It's for the refuah. It's for the refuah of the baby.
I have the same question. It's the bris is actually three stages, right?
Correct. So, priya, prima, mitzitza.
Right.
But whereas priya and prima have to do with the actual physicality of the bris mila, mitzitza is ensuring the refuah of the baby after the mila.
It's not done, the bris is kosher?
No. You need mitzitza. Because again, if it's not done, it's part of the bris, but the Gemara understands that it's part of the bris, also the sakana associated with it. So the Gemara goes on, Venos din ale ispalanis, you could put a bandage on the baby. Amar Abaye, Amarli aim. So Abaye now goes through, this is actually a very interesting Gemara, goes through a whole bunch of remedies, advice that his mother gave him. So Abaye said, my mother told me, Amarli aim, Ispalanisa de kulhun kivi, the best type of salve, the best type of. We've been using ispalanis as bandage. Here it really means a salve. It's going to be like an ointment that takes care of all types of pains. Is shev minoi tarbo, is 7 parts like animal fat, the chadakira, and 1 part wax. If you make a concoction, a mixture out of that, and you smear that on anything, it's mamish, you're good to go. Rava Amar, Kira the Kalba Rishine. Rava said, on the other hand, that no, a good salve made of wax and resin, that's the best kind of salve. Darsha Rava Bemechuza. So Rava once taught this in Mechuza. He once taught this, how to make this particular salve in Mechuza. Kar Inhu Bnei Menyumi Asyal Manayhu. The children of Menyumi the doctor tore their clothing. Now, why is that? Because Rava had just given away their family secret, right? So here you have Menyumi, the doctor, was charging for all of these salves, was charging for all these remedies, and now Rava darshaned it in a public shir.
You could hurt somebody's parnassa.
I'm sorry?
You could hurt somebody's parnassa.
That wasn't his intention. And first of all, again, nobody has a... No one quarters the market on these salves. If a person knows how to make it, you're allowed to share it. So Amar Lahu Shafki Lahu Chada. So Rava said, don't worry, I left you one. What's the one? The Amar Shmuel, Hayman de Mashiach Pevilonogiv Tuva. Nachturu lei chas benaisa. So, because Rava said, Shmuel said, that if somebody washes their face and does not dry their face appropriately, then ultimately they can break out in boils. My takante, what is the takana? Limshi tuva b'maye de silka. Wash excessively in water in which beets were cooked. Okay? Lo shachak me'erev Shabbos. So what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said, Alok l'maise, if you did not go ahead and grind up the cumin on Erev Shabbos, you could do it, you could chew it on Shabbos, and then again apply that to the makom milah. Tanur Rabbanan, so the rabbis thought, Dvarim shein osim l'milah b'Shabbos osim l'b'yom tov. There are things that you can't do for bris milah on Shabbos, but you can do on Yom Tov. For example, shochakin la kimon. You could go ahead and grind up cumin. Charfin la yayin v'shemen. You could mix up wine and oil. So also remember, we saw this also earlier, that apparently, again, one of the remedies they used for bris milah, one of the things they applied on the makom milah, was some type of mixture of wine and oil. Now, as we will see on Shabbos, you're not supposed to vigorously beat any two objects together because it has the appearance of cooking. So the Gemara says, over here, that although you could not prepare this on Shabbos, you could prepare it on Yom Tov. Amalei Abayi Rav Yosef, Mashna Kimon di Yom Tov. Why is it that you could grind up the cumin on Yom Tov? The Chazi Likdera. Because at the end of the day, remember, cooking is permitted on Yom Tov. Cumin is a spice. And you'd be permitted to go ahead and, let's say, grind up cumin for cooking purposes. So you could grind up cumin over here for the bris milah purposes as well. Yayin v'shemen chazi naim v'shabbos l'chola. But if that's the case, then you should be able to mix together, vigorously mix the wine and the oil together on Shabbos. Because after all, technically speaking, although you couldn't do it for a regular person, you could do it for a chola on Shabbos. Tisanyo. Ein tarfin yayin v'shemen l'chola v'shabbos. The Braisa says, you may not mix together. But again, it's not just, it means vigorously mix together wine and oil on Shabbos. Amar Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Af Tarfin Yayin V'Shemen. So Rav Shimon ben Elazar said the name of Rabbi Meir. No, you can even go ahead and mix up wine and oil. Amar Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Pam Achos Chash Rabbi Meir, B'Meyav. One time Rabbi Meir got sick. B'Meyav literally means he had a stomach illness. And what happened? Ubi Kashnu Litrof Lo Yayin V'Shemen. We wanted to make him a mixture of wine and oil. I guess that was beneficial also for a stomach ailment. Below hinachnu, and Rabbi Meir would not let us. Amarnu lo, we said to him, Rabbi, dvarecha yibatlu bechayecha. Also the intriguing part over here is that Rabbi Meir was the one who just said above that for a chola on Shabbos, you can mix together the wine and oil. Now Rabbi Meir is sick. His talmidim want to do it for him, and he refuses it. So they said, Rabbi, your words will be negated in your lifetime. Listen to this answer. Amar lanu, Rabbi Meir said to us, Af api sha'ani omer kach, v'chaveirai omrim kach. I say one thing, and my friends say another thing. I say it's mutter for a chola. My friends say it's aser. Mi yomai lo mila'ani libi la'avor al divrei chaveirai. Right? In my lifetime, I have never violated the words of my friends. Rabbi Meir says, the truth is, I might believe something, but if at the end of the day my peers believe something else and they outnumber me, I've always yielded to their decision. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir was machmir for himself, but for everyone else, he permitted it. So we'll say the point over here is that halacha l'maisa we see that at least trying to be mayor for everybody else besides himself, so you can go ahead and vigorously beat together the wine and the oil on Shabbos. If that's the case, for a chola, if that's the case, certainly a child after milah has the din of chola, maybe even chola sheyesh bo sakana, and therefore lamais you should be able to prepare this combination of wine and oil, to which the Gemara says, no, hasam lo boi licha, hacha boi licha. The difference is that over there by the chola on Shabbos, it doesn't need this strenuous beating. Over here, by milah, it does require this strenuous beating. So because of that, that's apparently when the prohibition of mixing these two things together is when there's a real strenuous beating, because then it has the appearance that you're engaging in an act of bishul. That's why you can't do it by milah. So the Gemara says, "Hachinami ne'avel v'lolech." Okay, so why don't you prepare this mixture for the bris milah to apply in the makom milah after the bris, and just don't beat it so strenuously? To which the Gemara says, you're right. v'zebif me'atzmo. So Gemara says, inachinami, that's in fact what the Mishnah says. Because remember, what the Mishnah says, that you can't go ahead and strenuously beat the wine and oil together. But what you can do is, you can put this one in, and you can put that one in. The Gemara says, what does that mean? It means you can mix them lightly. So you can go ahead and mix the mixture lightly, and use that to apply to the makom mila. Tana Rabbanan. Ein misanenin esachardel b'misnenes shalom. You may not go ahead and literally strain mustard seed through its seed, through its strainer. Now look at Rashi for just a moment. In misanenes achardel, this is on Yom Tov. B'misnenes shalom, chayma mifarish lekamei, demechse kiborer, shemash lechasubin shalom. So once I, the logic behind it seems to me is that apparently mustard seed, at least originally, is in a chaff as well. And when you go ahead and you put it through the strainer, it has the appearance of borer. So we will discuss, by the way, that not every single malach is mutzer on Yom Tov. There are certain malachos that you still can't do on Yom Tov, which we'll see. So therefore, the Gemara, the Braisa says over here that you can't strain mustard seed with its sieve, with its strainer on Yom Tov. Ve'ein memaskin oso bigachalas. You can't sweeten the mustard seed with a coal. So Rashi points out over here again that apparently what they used to do was they would bury a coal inside a heap of mustard seed, and I guess the heat of the coal must have somehow had some type of sweetening effect on the mustard seed. So you can't do that on Yom Tov either. Can't do that on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, only Abaye the Rav Yosef, my shnominha, what's the difference in this case and the following case? This none, no snim beitza b'masnene shel chardal. You could put an egg through a mustard seed strainer. And I will say, the reason they would do that, Rashi says, "Umesanen obisocho biyafos mariso." Apparently, they would strain egg over mustard seed because sprinkling the egg over the mustard seed would go ahead and give the mustard seed a stronger color. So why can you do it with the egg and not do it with the mustard seed itself? Amarle hasam lo mechzi keborer, hacha mechzi keborer. So the Gemara says very simply, because when it comes to the egg, interestingly enough, you're not actually doing an act of borer. Why not? Because at some point in time, the entire egg is actually going to go through the strainer. Your intent is not to hold any part of the egg back. As opposed to, again, with the mustard seed, your goal is what? Your goal is to hold back the chaff. And therefore, it has the appearance of borer, which the Gemara for now posits is usser on Yom Tov.
So, is it usser because it's like a hold on borer, or is it usser because it's literally like
the... It's usser because it's borer. Because it's borer, right? Right. It just uses lashon mechse kibor, but it really means borer over here. No, it depends how it's used. Sometimes Mexican bishul means bishul. So, like for example, in the beating of the wine and the oil, clearly that's not real bishul.
Right.
So that's a Mexican bishul. But here, Mexican borer literally means borer.
It's
correct.
Really like
that is correct. That is correct. The ein memaskin also begacheles. You can't sweeten the mustard seed with a coal. So the Gemara says the hatanya memaskin also. But we learned also in the Brayta that you can't sweeten the mustard seed by burying a coal in it. So the Gemara says, lo kash, it's not a contradiction. Kan bigacheles shel mateches, kan bigacheles shel eitz. One is talking about a coal of metal, and one is talking about a coal of wood. So what does that mean? So what the Gemara calls a coal is a very heated piece of metal. Very heated piece of metal. So the Gemara suggests the following. If you look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says, bigacheles shel eitz aser tishayach bekivui. So here's the issue. If you were to go ahead and take a coal in general and bury it in a heap of mustard seed, what you are in effect doing is extinguishing the coal. Because over time, because it's buried in the mustard seed, the coal will be extinguished. So the Gemara says, when it's a coal of metal, which just is another way of saying a heated piece of metal, there is no act of extinguishing that occurs in that particular case. Therefore, that's when the Braisa says that it's mutter. When did the Braisa say it's usur? If you were to take a coal of wood, right? If you take a coal of wood, which ultimately is subject to extinguishing, you can't bury that in the mustard seed on Yom Tov, because that would be an act of kibui. So the Gemara says, Amalei Abaye Rav Yosef, Ma'esh Nami Bistra Agburin. So the Gemara asks a very interesting question. Why is this different than putting meat over burning coals? But I will say, what does that mean? You know that if you go ahead and you put meat on coals, so what happens? The fat drips off, drips onto the coals, and by definition, sometimes actually extinguishes the coals. So why, and yet, you're allowed to barbecue on Yom Tov, right? You're allowed to go ahead and make your piece of meat on the coals on Yom Tov, right? So why is that mutter? To which the Gemara says, Amar leh, Hasam lo efshar, hacha efshar. The difference over here is that in that case, i.e. by the meat on the coals, there's no other alternative. You have to be able to eat. Right? You have to be able to eat. But here, again, in the case of the mustard seed, it's not the necessity. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye Rav Yosef, mahu legabe. So now Abaye asked Rav Yosef, what about making cheese on Yom Tov? Right? Can you go ahead and make cheese on Yom Tov? Amar le aser. So he said it's aser. He said it's aser. So the Gemara says the following. Just take a quick look. Take a quick look at Rashi lo efshar before we go on. I'm sorry. Litzlos me'ethanol. You can't roast the meat yesterday. All right? You can't roast the meat on Erev Yom Tov. Why? Dibiyoma shvicha tfei. Because remember, again, on Yom Tov, you're permitted to do anything that yields greater quality. So there's no question that cooking your meat today is of greater quality than cooking the meat yesterday. Therefore, even though it could be that some of the coals will be extinguished, because it's lo efshar, it's mutter. So the Gemara says the following. What about making cheese? What about making cheese? Amar le aser. So Abaye said it's aser. I'm sorry, Rabbi Yosef said it's aser. My shnom elisha. So why should it be any different than kneading? Right? You're permitted to knead dough on Yom Tov to make bread. Why can't you knead the cheese, so to speak? Amar le hasam lo efshar. Hacha efshar. The difference over there is you can't bake the bread on Erev Yom Tov. Here, you can make the cheese in Erev Yom Tov. Also, what does that mean you can't bake? Of course you can bake the bread in Erev Yom Tov. What it means is that freshly baked bread is qualitatively better than day-old bread. Just the way that it is. And on Yom Tov, Ochal Nefesh says you could do anything on Yom Tov that, if you do it on Yom Tov, will yield greater qualitative results. So the Gemara says, 1 second, but is that true? V'ha Amri Nahardoi, Gvina Basyom Ma'alya. But yet, the Nahardoim said, that fresh cheese, Gvina Basyom, which means cheese made on that day, is great. Ma'alya is superior. Haki comes, the Gemara means, Da'afilu Gvina Basyom Ma'alya. What the Gemara says is that even cheese made on that day is good. Now, what's the inference from that? Aged cheese, even a day, is even better. But you could even eat fresh cheese. So the Gemara says, again, because since, remember, we actually spoke about cheese, that the issue, part of the issue of cheese, is actually, according to many opinions, boneth. Because of the way the cheese process works, is a din in building. So because, again, and also because the cheese is actually qualitatively better, if made earlier, you're not permitted to do it on Yom Tov. Ein osin l'chalok. So we'll say again, remember, the Mishnah spoke about the idea that after the milah, they used to fashion this particular type of, for lack of a term, we'll call it like a bandage-type garment that was shaped like a sleeve, would fit tightly around the aver, and the goal would be that it kept really the foreskin from coming back. It kept the foreskin, that was part of it, that which was rolled back in place. So the Gemara says the following. But you can't make this garment, remember the Mishnah said, you can't make this chaluk on Shabbos. Instead of Shabbos, the Gemara says, if you don't have the chaluk, you would use a rag. So the Gemara says the following, piece of material. Amar Abaye, I'm really aimed. So we're coming back to Abaye's mother. So my mother told me the following. Hai chaluk di yinuka. This child's garment, right, this particular chaluk of the baby that we put around the makom mila after the bris mila, lefanye lesitra le'iloi. You should turn the hem upwards. Dilma midbak garda mine va'asi lide kros shivcha. This is very interesting. That Sabai's mother said that when you use this chaluk, make sure to turn the hem upward. Why? Because Moshe said the concern was that if the hem is against the makomila, what could happen? A thread could get interwoven in the makomila, and then when you go ahead and pull off the garment, the thread could chas v'shalom go ahead and harm the child, literally cause a krus shivcha. Krus shivcha means. Really a person with some type of damage. Now, it's interesting, there's machlokis as to whether it's like testicular damage or whether it's damage to the gid, what exactly is the type of damage, but the point is, the way it normally manifests itself is, instead of, let's say, either urine or semen coming out in a straight stream, everything comes out in a trickle. That's the technical definition of krus shivcha. So the Gemara just says, be careful that when you lift up the hem of this chaluk, so that the thread does not, because again, I guess there's a fear that as the skin heals, the thread chasron could become embedded in the skin. Then when you pull off the garment, you'll rip open the wound and could injure the child. Imi de Abaye, the mother of Abaye, of the kisisa lefalga. lepalgo. So therefore, the mother of Abayi, when she used to make this type of garment, actually made a lining in part of the garment. So apparently, therefore, again, the part of the garment that would rest on the makom mila was smooth. Amar Abaye. Abaye said the following: Hay yinuka de les lechaluk. If you don't have this specific, post mila garment for the baby, laisa belisa de is le sifsa. Go ahead, belisa, bring a belisa, bring a rag that has a hem. Sifsa is a hem. And go ahead and tie down the hem inwards. And then go ahead and double over the top end. So meaning tie the hem in, tie that into the garment, and then flip the hem over. So you're essentially going in and ensuring that the hem in no way comes in contact with the makomila. But Amr Abaye, my mother told me, Abaye said, Amr the Aim, my mother told me, Hayinuka dilo yidia. Mifkase. If you have a child, this is another interesting case. If you have a child, I don't know what there's a medical term like this.
Imperforate anus.
I'm sorry?
Imperforate anus.
Oh, so you don't, so meaning you don't, you can't see the anus. You can't see the anus. Apparently it's covered over by a piece of skin. So what should you do? Lishve mishcha, smear the child with oil, velokme lahadi yoma, and stand the child up opposite the sun. The hecha de zig, and wherever their skin is transparent, likare bisa'arta shesi va'arev. Go ahead and cut the skin there, literally with the top of a barley corn. Apparently, again, the top of the barley kernel was sharp. So wherever it's transparent, that's indicative of the fact that that's where the anus is, and cut it there. However, and badafka, why with the barley? Aval b'klima tacho slow. Don't use a metal instrument. Why? Mishum v'zaref, because ultimately there could be inflammation. So don't try that at home. Right? Call Dr. Langbaum. But you know what? But the truth is, it could very well be that he's also talking about without sterilization. Right? So without sterilization, who knows what could happen using metal. So I guess the barley is assumed. All right, whatever it is. But Amr Abaye, my mother told me, I keep saying that. Amr Abaye said, Amr Abaye, my mother told me, Hayinuka delo mayitz. If you have a child that is not nursing, so what should you do? So the Gemara says, Mekar de karpume. The reason he's not nursing is because the child's mouth is cold. So the Gemara says, my takante. So what's the takana? Leisu kaso gumri. Take a cup full of coals. Vilinkite le lahade puma dechayim. Dechayim pume umayitz. Go ahead, take the cup of hot coals, bring it close to the child's mouth, so that the heat of the coals, goes ahead and warms the child, and the child will then nurse. V'amr Abaye said, Amr li'e, my mother told me, Hai yinuka dilo minashte. If you have a child who's not breathing, so what should you do? Linfefe binafusa uminashte. Fan the child. It's actually interesting. What he's saying is, over here is, right, fan the child, push oxygen into the child, and the child will begin to breathe. Umenashte. V'amr Abaye. Abaye said, Amr li'e, my mother said to me, Hai yinuka delo ma'ave. So we'll say, ma'ave is breathing, but labored breathing. If you have a child who's not breathing easily, so what should you do? Lesu salisa di'ime. Take literally the afterbirth of the mother, Velishrike iluye, and rub it on the child, umeavi, and the child will begin to breathe. V'amra Abaye said, Amr li'e, my mother said to me, Hayinuka de katin. If you have a child ultimately who's emaciated, so what do you, Hayinuka de katin, laisu lisilsa diime, bring the afterbirth of the mother, velishrike iluye, and go ahead and rub it on the child, mikutna li'ulama. From the narrow end to the wide end. The e olim, if the child looks bloated, may uma lukutna, from the wide end to the narrow end. Va'amra Abaye said, Amr li'e, my mother said to me, Hayinuka de sumak. If you have a child who's very red, da'akati lo ivla be dama. Now what that means is that the blood has not been fully absorbed into the child. Well, so remember, they're gauging by what they observe. The blood has not been,
Usually a baby has too much, the blood volume is too much.
So probably what he means over here, lo ivla badama, means the blood has not been properly absorbed within the body, lo ivla badama. Lisruchu le ad the ivla be dama. So wait until the blood is settled, vilimhula, and then do the circumcision. I will say what's interesting about this, what Abai is saying over here is that my mother told me, don't automatically go ahead and do the bris milah on the eighth day. If you see that there's something that just looks abnormal about the child, wait until things look normal. Similarly, the yaruk va'akati lo nafal beidame. If the child is yaruk, literally green, which means that the child perhaps is blood deficient. Lisruchu ad the nafal beidame. Wait until the child looks normal. Vilim hula, and then go ahead and do the bris milah. Listen to this. Disanya, Rabbi Nasser. Rabbi Nasser said the following. Pam achas halachti lekrache hayam. One time I went overseas. Ubasa isha achas lefanai. And a woman came before me. And this woman, what happened? Shemala b'na harishon umes. She circumcised her first son, and the son died. Sheni umes. She circumcised her second son, and then he died. Shlishi, she had a third son. And now she realized that there was some type of condition that was affecting her children. So whereas in the previous two cases, she just assumed that she just do milah on the eighth day, didn't think there was anything to ask. When it comes to the third child, hevi asul lefanai, she brought the child before me, Rabbi Nasan. Re'isif shu adom. I saw the child was very red. Amartila, I said to her, hamtini lo ad shiv labodomo. Wait, literally, until the blood becomes absorbed. She waited until the blood became absorbed in the child. And what happens? Umala also, they circumcised him. V'chaya, and the child lived. V'hayu korin also nasan habavli al shmi. It's actually very interesting. And they called the child nasan habavli, right? Literally nasan habavli after me, Rabbi Nasan, which was also very interesting, just in terms of naming, right? So here's what's fascinating is. They're naming the child after a living individual. The concept that we, and it's really only Ashkenazim, don't name after the living is a more recent innovation. See, over here, you see the name Mamash naming after Rabbi Nasan. So the Gemara goes on. The Gemara says, Shur pam halachti l'medina Kapotkia. One time I went to the country of Kapotkia. Ubasik isha achas lefanai shemala v'narishon umes, sheni umes. Shlishi hevi esol lefanai. So same, I went to Kapotkia, and a woman came before me. She circumcised her first son, and he died. Second son, and he died. And she brought the third child before me. Reisiv shehu yarok. I saw that he was green. Hitzatzti bo v'lo reisi bo dam bris. I examined him, and I saw that he had not had a bris milah. He had a bris milah. So Martila said to the mother, Hemtini lo ad shiipo bo domo. Wait to circumcise him until things become normal. Himtinalo, they waited. Umala also, and they circumcised him. V'chaya, and the child lived. Vayikorin shmo nasan habavli al shmi. So there's a nasan little nasan habavli in Medinas Hayom, little nasan habavli in Kapotkia, a lot of little nasan habavlis. Okay, says the Mishnah. Marchitzenes hakatan ben lifnei lebein la'achar anila. You can go ahead and wash the katan. Wash the child. Both before the milah and after the milah. Obviously, we're talking about over here in hot water, which obviously, again, would require the creation of hot water, the making of hot water, the boiling of water. So you could do this, you could wash the baby before the milah, after the milah, umizalfin alav biyad, and you could sprinkle hot water on the baby with your hand, avalobikli, but not with a utensil. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says it's not just before the milah and after the milah, but you can even go ahead and wash the baby with hot water on the third day after the milah, even if it falls out on Shabbos. Why the third day? Because also I remember the Torah says in the episode with Shechem, right, where Shimon and Levi go ahead and imply and use the ruse to get Dina back, tell the people of Shechem to go ahead and circumcise themselves, and when do Shimon and Levi come in to wipe out the city? On the third day after the circumcision. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, you see from here that the third day after the circumcision is one of the most painful, and therefore, again, he permits even washing with hot water on Shabbos if the Shabbos is the third day. Suffolk v'androgynous. If you have a suffolk, now we'll see what suffolk is. Rashi points out over here that suffolk is a situation of we're not sure if the child was when the child was born. I will say Chazal operated out of a very interesting medical perspective that was held in their time, which was that if a baby was born during the seventh month, that the baby would be viable. If the baby was born during the ninth month, the baby would be viable. But for some reason, it was felt that if a baby was born during the eighth month, that was not a viable baby. Not a viable baby, for reasons we'll discuss. Again, it was obviously reflecting the general knowledge of medicine in their time. So you would not go ahead and, let's say, violate Shabbos for a bris milah of an eight-month baby, of a baby more during the eighth month. So if you have a suffix, let's say you're not sure when the baby was born, is it a seventh-month baby, an eighth-month baby, a ninth-month baby, you would not violate Shabbos for that milah. And androgynous. Androgynous, of course, is a child born with both types of sexual organs. So in that situation, also, the Gemara says, Ein mechalalana alavas haShabbos. We would not violate Shabbos to do bris milah for these children. You push it off to Sunday. Rabbi Huda matzi androgynous, and Rabbi Huda says, no, the androgynous, you could go ahead and do that milah even on Shabbos. Fine, says the Gemara. Ha'amrit reisha marchitzin. So here's what's interesting, Israel, is that the second line in the Mishnah, the first line of the Mishnah opens up by saying that you can go ahead marchitzin es hakatan, you could wash the baby in hot water, whether it's before the milah or after the milah. Then the Mishnah says, "Mezalfin alav biyad avalo bekli." You could sprinkle hot water on the baby with your hand, but not with the kli. So Gemara says, "I don't understand. Which one is it? Is it marchitzin? Are you permitted to bathe the baby, or is it just that you're permitted to sprinkle some water on the baby?" So the Gemara says, "V'hamri treisha marchitzin, Rabbi Huda v'Rava bar Avua d'amri tarbayu." So Rabbi Huda v'Rava bar Avua said the following: "Keitzad tani? How are we to understand this?" You are permitted to go ahead and wash the baby before the milah and after the milah. Keitzad, what's the case? Mizalfin alav biyad avalo bikli. And how do you wash the baby before the milah and after the milah on Shabbos? You sprinkle water on the baby with your hand, but not with a utensil. Amar Rava, v'hamarchitzin katoni. But Rava said, one second, but that's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, marchitzin. Marchitzin literally means what, Rabosai? Means bathe. Which means then they get to commandment, bathe the baby on Shabbos. Hello, Omer Rava, Hachi Katani. This is what it means to say. Marchitzin esak katan, bein lifnei milah, bein la'achar milah, biyom harishon kidarko. So Rava says like this, you're allowed to wash the child in hot water in a normal fashion. Now we'll still say what that means. That means even boiling up water, we'll discuss that. Whether before the milah, and on the first day after the milah. However, but if the third day of the milah fell out, fell out on Shabbos, then mizalfin alav biyad avalo bekli. Then in that circumstance, we also could use hot water to soothe the baby, but you can't bathe the baby in that circumstance. What you can do is you can sprinkle the water on the baby with your hand, but not with a utensil. Rabbi Elazar ben Azari says, no, you can even go ahead and wash the baby on the third day. So apparently, according to this version, Rabbi Elazar ben Azari says, the third day is essentially treated like the first day of the milah, and the same way in the first day of the milah, you can go ahead and literally wash the baby with hot water because of the sakana. Rabbi Elazar ben Azari says that sakana applies on day number three also because of the pasuk. Tanya kavase de Rava. We have a brisa that supports Rava. What does the brisa say? Marchitzin ha katan bein lifnei milah bein la'acher milah. You could wash the katan before and after the milah. Biyom rishon on the first day, kidarko in the normal fashion. And if the third day after the milah falls out on Shabbos, mizalfin alav biyad, you could sprinkle hot water on the baby with your hand. Rabbi Elazar ben Azari says, marchitzin es hakatan biyom hashlishi shechalios b'Shabbos. Rabbi Elazar ben Azari says, no, you could literally wash the baby on the third day of the, after the milah that fell out after Shabbos. Ve'avapi shein rayi ladavar zecher ladavar. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azari says, even though I can't bring you an explicit proof to why that should be permitted, I could bring you a pasuk that at least makes reference to it. What's the pasuk that makes reference to it? Shene emar, vayhi bayom hashlishi biyosam ko'avim. Because the pasuk says that on the third day after the milah, the people of Shechem were in pain. Ukashehe mizalfin, and when you sprinkle water on the baby, in mizalfin lo bekos v'lo bekara, you can't sprinkle with a cup or with a utensil, with a bowl literally, v'lo bekli, ela biyad, rather you do it with your hand. So the Gemara says, "Ason l'tanatama." My afa pi she'in ra'i l'davar zeicha l'davar. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. When Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that you can even take care of the baby on day number 3, because after all, the Pasuk says, that on the third day they were in pain. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, that's not an explicit proof, it's just a zecher. So Gemara says, why isn't that an explicit proof? Right, the Torah is telling you explicitly that the third day after the milah is a painful day. The Gemara gives a very interesting answer. The gadol, mishum the gadol, lo salik bisrahiya. Katan salik le bisrahiya. To which the Gemara says, because remember, who is it talking about in the Pasuk? It's talking about adults. When it comes to adults, the flesh does not heal quickly. Lo salik bisrahiya. The flesh, right, the wound does not heal quickly. Children heal quicker than adults. So therefore, Rav Elazar ben Azariah says, the dynamic of the third day is described by adults, but interestingly enough, it's also described by Avram Avinu, right? Although again, there it's not as explicit in the text, right? There ultimately, Rashi learns out that it's the third day, but the idea is we only see it by adults. So for Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says it's a remez, it's a scriptural allusion, but because it's by adults, does it definitely apply to children? Maybe yes, maybe no. The Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah feels it does, but at the same time, he has to be intellectually honest enough to say that the pasuk is not an explicit raya; it's just a zecher. Hahu. There was a particular person that came before Rava, and what happened? Ori le kishmaite. Now this person came before Rava with a shayla, and Rava paskin in accordance with his own opinion. Now what does Rava allow? Rava allows rechitza kedarko on Shabbos, right? Rava says that if somebody apparently came to Rava, whose child just had a bris milah, and he asked Rava, can I go ahead and wash the child, kedarko, regular rechitza on Shabbos? And Rava paskin, yes, because that's how Rava understands the Mishnah. The Mishnah is allowing mamish rechitza on the day of the milah, even if it's on Shabbos. Ichlish Rava. Rava became ill afterwards. Amar ana bahadi targimna disabi lamali. Why do I get myself involved in the discussion of the elders? Now what Rava felt was that his sickness was a punishment for passing against the more senior Talmidei Chachamim, who did not allow actual bathing even on the first day that was Shabbos, but rather only allowed for the pouring of water. Amrli Rabbanan l'Rava. I said to Rava, but 1 second, v'hatanya kavosei dimar. But Rava, don't get upset. You're not the only one who espoused this approach. Right? There's a brisa that supports you as well. Amar lehu, but he said to them, masnisin kavaseichu deka. He says, but you know what? But at the end of the day, the other opinions have the Mishnah to back them up. Mimai, where do we know that from? Mitkamer Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Omer marchitzen asakaten v'yomashish shechalios b'shabbes. So where do we know that the Mishnah itself supports the views contrary to Rava? Because what did the Mishnah say? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said you can wash the baby on the third day that falls out on Shabbos. So it makes sense that the Tanakhama holds that the marchitzin of the Mishnah is not really rechitza, but rather it's just sprinkling of water. That's why Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah has to come along and say marchitzin. But if you want to say that Tanakhama holds that even on the first day you could do rechitza, and you could sprinkle on the third day, hi, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah omer marchitzin, af marchitzin mi boile. If that's the case, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah shouldn't have said marchitzin, he should have said, you could even go ahead and bathe. So mostly the idea that Rabbi says is as much as there's a brisa that supports me, the Mishnah seems to support the other opinion of the other rabbis, that halacha l'maaseh, even on the day of the milah, you can't wash the baby, but you can simply sprinkle water on the baby. Ki aser Rav Dimi amar Rav Elazar, halacha k'Rav Elazar ben Azariah. When Rav Dimi came along, he said that the halacha follows Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Havu va b'ma'arava. So they pondered the following point. Ma'arava means in the West, in Eretz Yisrael. Harchatzas kol gufo, o harchatzas milah. When Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah allows for a full wash, and I will say, obviously, if Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that you could wash the baby, fully bathe the baby on the third day, certainly Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds that you could bathe the baby on the first day. So the shayla is, what are you bathing? What does he permit? Does he permit bathing of the baby's full body, or just the bathing of the makom milah? Amr lehu hahumi rabbanon, Rabbi Yaakov shmei, one of the rabbis, by the name of Rabbi Yaakov, said the following, Mistaber harchatzas kol gufo, it would appear that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah allows for the washing of the entire body. Why? Because if you would say that the only thing he's allowing is the washing of the makom milah, Mi gara nechamer agabe mako. Would that be any different than the placing or the sprinkling of hot water on top of a wound? The Amar Rav ein monin chamin v'shemen me'al gabi mako. Rav was of the opinion that you could go ahead and pour hot water or even hot oil on a wound on Shabbos. Maskif l'Rav Yosef. Maskif l'Rav Yosef. So we'll say again, what the Gemara is saying is it must be washing on the entire body, because the idea of pouring hot water over a wounded area, right, or hot oil, so that already we could do in other situations. So what would be the chiddush over here? Maskif l'Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef is a contradiction. V'lo shani l'cha ben chamet shuchmu b'shabbos chamet shuchmu b'yarev Shabbos Ayra says maybe the distinction is not in the application of the hot item, but what? The actual heating up of the item itself. When the Brisa said before that you could apply hot water, hot oil on a makkah, where is that hot water and hot oil from? That was warmed up on Erev Shabbos. You can't heat that up on Shabbos. Maybe the chiddush over here of brismila is what? That you could warm these, you could heat these items up even on Shabbos itself. Maskef l'radimi umimai, d'hocha b'chamin shukum b'shabbos pligi. How do you know that over here talking about heated hot items, like hot water that was heated on Shabbos? Dilma b'chamin shukum b'erev Shabbos pligi. Maybe they're arguing about water that was heated in Erev Shabbos. Amr Abaye, ona bai di'ishanilei, v'kadam v'shanilei Rav Yosef. Abaye said, I was ready to answer this, but Rav Yosef answered it before me. V'bnei she'sakonahu lo. The proof that we are dealing with water that's even heated up on Shabbos is because we are dealing with the situation of sakana. It's marnami ki asa rabin am rabbi avo, am rabbi lozav, am rabbi avo, am rabbi yochanan, halocha krabbi lozav ben azaryo, ben bechamit shuchmo b'shabbos, ben bechamit shuchmo me'erev Shabbos. So Rabbi Yochanan comes along and makes a definitive statement. The halocha follows rabbi lozav ben azaryo, namely, that you can go ahead and wash the baby with hot water, on the first day of the Milah, as well as the first day after the Milah, as the third day after the Milah, you could use water that was heated on Erev Shabbos, and if necessary, you could even heat up water on Shabbos, bein harchotzas kol gufo, bein harchotzas Milah. You could bathe the baby's entire body, or you could just bathe the makom Milah, depending on what you feel the baby needs. Why? Because at the end of the day, we know that the baby is in a state of sakana. All right, we'll stop over here for today.